Hi, this is Lorna Johnson, and you're listening to Making Palmy Home, a series about migrants to Palmerston North, how they got here, what they think about Palmy, and what advice they give to other people who were moving here. And our guest today is Shabir. Morning, Shabir. How are you?
Good morning, Lorna. How are you? How's everything?
Good. It's lovely to have you. So Shabir is someone that I've known for very many years, and he's very kindly agreed to come in and be interviewed today. So first off, Shabir, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing at the moment in Palmy?
I feel like an interview of the job is. Well, my name is Shabir Hashmi, as you know that, and been settled in New Zealand since 2016 September. I'm an engineer by profession. My wife is a PhD researcher and working in Massey University as an innovation technologist. We've got two naughty sons, 9 and 1.5. I've been in New Zealand for almost like over four years now. Traveled the whole country from south, north to south, and pretty much settled down in Palmerston North so far, yes.
That's great. And so why Palmy? How did you land here?
Well, I people often ask me about it, but why Palmy? Because Palmy was destined to be over here. My wife got a PhD scholarship from the Massey University back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And that was a time back. I mean, I am originally from Pakistan, and we have lived in Oman and Dubai for over 12 years back in the Middle East where I was working. From 2015, we were thinking about moving to another country, settling down to a place where we can actually have a family time together, to be honest with you, because my son was pretty desperate about having family time, which we were not having back in the Middle East. Fortunately, we just got the opportunity that my wife started, had to start her PhD from the Massey University, and I started to look at options in New Zealand as well, and I found it pretty promising to settle down as a whole family. So we came over here. Initially, I came here to see how things move on, but then I fall in love with Palmy. I started my first job in April 2017. Yep. With an engineering firm over here, then we didn't look back. That's how it is.
That's lovely. And how has the move been for the family? Your wife and your older son, obviously. You know, how have they reacted? Because it's quite a change, isn't it?
Yes.
Coming from Dubai to Palmerston North.
I'll say it was an extremely easy for my son.
Yeah.
Because he was the first one who settled down very easily.
Yeah.
The reason being is that he was born back in the Middle East, and he had been in the school where pretty much, the environment was pretty much British, right. And he was pretty, adaptable to it. So when he came over here, started the school, made friends, and it was so easy, boom, within a couple of weeks. It was us, basically, who took some time actually to adjust, because if you compare this world versus that world, the life is totally different. It's a huge chunk. It's a huge difference between the two countries or the two worlds, I'll say that. So it took us a while, a few weeks to settle down, till I made some really nice friends, not just in my community, but the communities outside as well. And it took me like 4 months to actually get my first job. And during the 4 months, I had quite some memorable experiences, positives and negatives as well, that made me think about doing something for the community as well. And I've been successfully doing some community projects for the last 4 years, as you know about it, Lorna.
I do.
You, who else?
But I do think that you raise a good point there, that one of the things that is a bit tricky for migrants is reaching out beyond their own community. So when you arrive, naturally there's a community of interest, people from your own country that you can relate to. But, taking that step to reach out to the wider community, that can be a bit tricky. So Tell us how you did that.
I'll just answer you in a way that, I mean, they need to understand, you know, the type of migrants, the type of the people who come into the country, you know. Mm. What I have noticed, particularly in Palmis North, maybe not in the other part of the country, but in Palmis North and Manawatu, people do not classify the migrants in a way, you know. Some people think that the migrants can be the refugees only. They can't be skilled. Some people think that the migrant can only be the people who come over here on a work visa, on a holiday work visa, just to earn some money and go ahead with it. What they don't understand is that there are skilled people from all over the world who apply for proper residency status in this country. They come with the particular skills which the country require. It's not the people who decide to come here. It's a country which invites the people to come over here. We come with the particular skills, and when we go outside in the market, and you know, when the you know, when we are treated in a way that, hey, do you even know English? You know, it gives us a little, you know, like it gives a little disappointing, you know, impression on many people. I mean, I'm not saying that it's everywhere, but I mean, it has been my general observation for quite some time, you know, and I've been working to, you know, to educate. I'll not say educate the migrant, educate the Kiwis, you know, to understand that, you know, like there are people who come with the particular skills, and they are having those skills which the country require. That, for example, engineers, technical people, tradespeople, doctors, you know, and business people out there. So they want themselves to be recognized, you know, in this country, and they have a treasure of knowledge, you know, and this country, I believe that you know, should get some advantage out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. As speaking as someone who came to came as a skilled migrant myself. Totally relate to that. I think probably my own experience would have been that there was a little bit of reluctance to employ someone who hadn't been educated and who didn't have work experience in New Zealand.
Yes.
Was that something that was raised with you?
I will say yes, because when I came over here, I started giving the interview. I mean, just a general practice of going reaching the recruitment companies or the companies over there. I had just had one reason of rejection. Mm-hmm. That is, you do not have a New Zealand work experience. Yeah. It made me so irritated, so annoyed, that once I just had a very heated debate with the recruiter. And I said, look, it's been only a few days I'm in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I've worked for 10 years in a very heavy industrial engineering industry.
Yeah.
And you are saying me that you don't have a New Zealand experience. Tell me, where do I find a New Zealand experience?
Yeah.
Because New Zealand doesn't exist in the Middle East. New Zealand doesn't exist in any of the world. I mean, and you know, I mean, she started laughing. She was annoyed as well. But you know, I mean,
that's a fair point, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know? So, I mean, this. For the last 3 years, the community work that I've been doing is, one of the key factor is to educate people with the New Zealand work culture, you know, how does it go? And I just realized when I started actually working with my first company, and where I actually felt that, yes, there is a difference between working in the Middle East or in Pakistan or any other part of the world versus working in New Zealand.
Hmm.
And you need to understand that. But it does not mean that your skills don't help. Utilizing your skill is a very different thing. However, it's not about New Zealand work experiences. It's about coping up with the New Zealand work culture.
Absolutely.
Which needs to be understood by many people out there.
So just tell me then, what differences were there in the work culture between, say, New Zealand and Pakistan, or New Zealand, Dubai? Just a couple of things that,
in Pakistan and Dubai, people wear you know, suits, and in New Zealand, people wear shorts. Well, I'll say that the New Zealand work culture is very casual,
casual.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm an engineer, and I've worked in a technical industry, and I have seen that, you know, the casual you are, the easy you are, they'll say that. But it's not in the other part of the world. You know, you need to be very particular and very articulate about, you know, what you wear, what you talk, you know. But over here, it's very casual. It seems like that you are in your house. You're talking to your dad, your mom, or brother or sister. Hey, you listen. Do that. Blah blah blah. And you know. I can't say a lot of things on the radio, which people know about how it is, you know. My slang has been very, disrupted for the last 4 years. I'm really worried about when I go back, you know, sometimes to Middle East or Pakistan, I actually start talking in a Kiwi way. Yeah. They will throw me out of the room, to be honest with you.
That's a very good point. And I think, do you think that your ability to adapt to that different work culture has helped you be successful?
Yes. I will not say that. I mean, I will again insist to say that my skills have been the same. And but when it comes to, you know, a little change in the personality, yes, it has. Yeah. I mean, it's a free country. I mean, the very positive thing about New Zealand is it's a very free country. You have the full rights to express yourself. You have the full right to talk to anything about what you want, what you feel, and what you want to express to the people out there. And I think that's a very positive thing. You know, you can't. I mean, that's something which you will not find back in the Middle East or in Pakistan. You have to think a thousand times before, you know, making a statement. However, in New Zealand, thanks to I don't know, but thanks to the usual culture of this country, the way they have elaborated, many things over here. So I really love the freedom of this country.
Oh, that's interesting. No, that's very interesting. So tell me what you've been doing in the wider community, because I know you've been involved with some voluntary organizations. So
yes.
Just tell us a bit about that and how you got involved.
Yeah, the initial four months, or I'll say 5 months of my struggle made me think about working for the communities out there. So when I started working with my first company, then I just thought that I should be putting some, putting my efforts to join the migrant community, and to reaching out the wider community and the people who are actually suffering depression. To be honest with you, I know people who have been over here for the last 2 years, and they are coming with a very strong skills, but they are not able to find jobs, to be honest. And they end up working at farms, factories, or
in jobs that are not related
and jobs
to
they
the
are not actually yeah. related to the to the to the call to their qualification actually.
Yeah.
So then I just started a few forums with a few like-minded people out there, and then I started educating about how to find jobs. You know, I had contacted with a few recruitment agencies, and then made them realize that they have to reach out people out there to let them know how the Kiwi employers over here, I mean the skilled employers, they think about hiring a people out there. One of the biggest factor that I really would like to comment over here is a factor of communication, which many people of course English is a second language for all of the migrants who come over here, but it doesn't guarantee you a job, to be honest with you, but it does guarantee you an ease of communication with the person you're talking with, to be honest. I always educate the people that you do not need to worry about grammatical mistakes while communicating to a Kiwi over here, because they absolutely don't care about it.
That's true.
You just need to address your message, to be honest. I mean, and you need to let them know what you think about it, be it technical, be it non-technical, or be it or whatever it is, you know. So we have been successfully, able to arrange workshops, for skilled migrants. And, people approach me as well, time by time, and to know about how to find jobs, how to make CVs, cover letters, what to include, what not to include. And that's how it is. I mean, I decided to work on some faith communities as well, because there are I am also a part of the Interfaith Palmerston North community as well, where we organize workshops regularly, and we invite people from all the faiths to come over, know each other, talk to each other, and basically making communities together. That's how it is. That's how easy I can explain.
Well, I think that you've been exceptionally good at reaching out into other communities. Mm. And I don't know if that's just your naturally warm personality. I mean, obviously you've made an effort to do that.
Yeah.
But has that been hard for you? Or does that come naturally, really? Is that the sort of person you are?
I will say, as an individual, it is always hard. But when you find like-minded people, it becomes easy. I will definitely mention the name of Ariona Mendes. She's a wonderful lady. She works in the city council. And she was the first lady I met in Palmas North, and who actually was having the same mindset as mine. So we sat together, we shared ideas, and I mean she's having her own organization as well, which is doing very well, and I decided to be a part of that particular organization. And since then we have been I mean, there were like only 10 people who were initially with us, and now it's an organization of like having 200 members out there. So it's pretty good. I mean, I love to be a part of that organization, and my basic purpose was to help the skilled migrants. So we didn't only have the skilled migrants, but we had people from all over the communities who come actually to hear about different things. Jobs, CVs, cover letters, and how to overcome the depression, how to overcome the usual stress to be a migrant over here. So it's pretty good. Yeah,
that's awesome. Look, we'll just take a musical break.
Tell me about it.
And then we'll just give you a chance to have a rest, and then we'll come back shortly.
A strange woman.
Great. So we're back with Shabir talking to us on Making Palmy Home. Shabir has been telling us a little bit about his professional life and his voluntary work. I'm just going to talk to you now, Shabir, about how you think your identity has changed in living in New Zealand, or whether it has, and whether your ties to your home country are just as strong, and how do you keep those going?
I will say my identity has not been changed, to be honest with you. I am what I am, and I will also suggest on this forum to everyone who come from different parts of the world that be yourself. Yep. Simple as that. I mean, the Kiwis particularly, the locals over here, they appreciate that. I mean, you be yourself and you're recognized. I mean, you know, if you are coming from a background where you have spent 30 years of your life or 40 years of your life, and then you come over here and you try to change yourself, you tend to change yourself, then you destroy your original identity as well as you destroy your own personality as well. So be yourself, what you are exactly, where you come from. So since I'm from Pakistan, so I'm very, very, very well connected from Pakistan. This is why I was telling you in the first day. I mean, that's the first thing in the morning which I do before having a cup of tea is to read the news of Pakistan, what's going on over there. Because, of course, even though I've lived in, the Middle East for 12 years, I still know my roots, and I emphasized the same thing to my kids as well, that, I mean, of course, my youngest one, he's born over here. Of course, he will be a little, I can see he'll be a little different because he will never live in Pakistan, I believe so. So, I will be okay with that. But however, my elder son, who was still born in the Middle East, but he has been very well connected with Pakistan. And you need to put your effort into it. You need to get connected with your family. You need to get connected with your cousins, your friends back in there, and you need to, keep yourself realized about what exactly you are, where you are coming from, what are your values, and what are you actually? That's how it is.
Mm. Now, that's very interesting.
So my answer to this question will be yourself, and whichever the part of the world you are, just be yourself. It's as easy as.
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice, actually, because you've got to know yourself first, haven't
you? Yes, yeah, exactly.
That's right. And is it easy for you to keep in touch with Pakistan? I suppose with internet and stuff like that these days, it's pretty simple.
Yes. Yep. My mom asked me, "What did you eat today? What have you done your lunch? Have you
did
done
she
this?
Still
have
ask you
done
that?
Oh, yes, Mama, you are sleeping. I'm working."
And what about keeping up the language? Is that difficult?
No.
No.
It's easy. It's easy as well. Yeah. I mean, I've lived in multiple countries, so, communicating in Urdu, English, Arabic, Kiwi English as well. It's not too bad. trust me, Lorna, I've got plenty of stories to share. The time is very less, I must tell you.
That's very funny. And for the children, are you talking to them in Urdu or Arabic?
Well, with my elder son, of course, I talk to him. I mean, it's the other way around. Like, I talk to him in English and he replies me in Urdu.
Okay.
So he doesn't speak, Urdu very well. But just because of the reason that he hasn't been to Pakistan ever since he was born. But of course, he loves Pakistan whenever he goes back over there. So, I mean, he tends to communicate in Urdu. His grandparents, they communicate well with him. Even they try to communicate him in English if he feels, a little shy. But, he replies in Urdu. I mean, it's the other way around for many people over here. Yeah. But for me, it's been fantastic. So, I mean, now I communicate with him Urdu,
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool. So what do you have any spare time between all this voluntary work and the family and your professional career?
Yes, I'll
tell
say.
Tell us what you do in your spare time.
A lot of things. I dedicate myself for the family during the weekends. We do mountain bikings, we do hikings, we do anything that we like as a family. Besides that, I am into cars, and I'm not into cricket, being a Pakistani.
I'm not assuming any stereotypes. Don't
at all.
Worry.
I was all about. I used to participate back in the Middle East as a domestic race car driver.
Oh, really?
In Dubai, in Oman, in Abu Dhabi, and I tend to do the same thing in New Zealand as well. I also take part in know, regular races at the Manfield racetrack. I'm not a part of a boy racer community over here, but I've got plenty of boy racer friends over here. You know, like I do own a sports car as well over here. I mean, the first thing after coming to this country was, you know, to think about which car I'm going to drive.
Oh, it's all coming out now.
And I'm not going to disclose the registration number of my car as well.
I must admit, for those who don't know, Shabir is often putting up photos of cars on Facebook.
So. Also the videos. But I must tell you, I have got no speed ticket for the last 4.5 years.
Yes. Very glad.
The police is very kind.
Oh, that's excellent. Look, Shabir, thanks so much for coming in and
talking to me.
This has
welcome.
Just been fantastic. I've really enjoyed talking to you. And
same
thanks
here.
For sharing a little bit about yourself and your family. And we really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Lana. It was lovely to have you here as well.
Thank you. So, everybody, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home, a series about migrants to Palmerston North. I'm Lorna Johnson. And you can catch the show on Wednesdays at 3:30 or the repeat on Sundays at 1. And it's available on demand at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home or wherever you get your podcasts. So until next week, have a good week. And you too, Shabir, have a good week.
Give the palmy, they say.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.